my mind was, here they'd already decreed and put down the Judaizers who had gone behind them and told the people they had to be circumcised and had to fall under Jewish restrictions and Jewish teachings to be a Christian, to be a real good Christian. You had to do that. Of course, we know they met at the Jerusalem Council and iron all that. And many believe he went back to these churches, and going back to those churches, wanted to make sure that they understood that what the Judaizers were sharing and telling with them or told them was not the truth. And so this may be some of the issue, but I believe Paul wanted to go back and to also help those churches. And I believe we looked at that last time together. So tonight, as we look at this, if we look close at our last time in Acts, we discovered that sometimes even close friends and close workers disagree, as Paul and Barnabas did. But the mission effort of this Great Commission must march on. And when we think about the Great Commission, we understand what Jesus said, and Paul understood. That is why we see in our scripture today, as Paul and his new helpers continue to live out Jesus' words in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where he said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach and teach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. And if you take that first phrase out of the Greek text and what he says, go ye therefore. The term in the Greek is the term as you are going. In other words, it's not something that we definitely understand to make a point about, but it is a point. But that Paul, the scripture, the text is really saying, in other words, as you are going through processes of life, as you're going through your daily routines of life, as you're going, we are to teach and to baptize. And this is what Paul understood as Jesus thing, because we see him very involved in mission work. When I say mission work, that is planting churches, establishing churches. Paul had a vision to go to certain cities, usually went to the bigger cities, metropolitan areas, where he could be sure to have an effective witness there and share the gospel, because he figured as those individuals that he planted or were planted in those churches, that they could share and carry the gospel in their community and throughout the world. So we pick up tonight in chapter 16 of our text. Would you stand for the reading of verses 1 through 10 and then remain standing for our prayer? It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. This was not for cleansing. This was not for any religious thing. Paul did it for keep down some problems later on. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. That was the things they had established, which were ordained, or that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing through Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to pause and give you thanks for today, for the awesome privilege of life, and for the greatness, Lord, of your love. A love that is overwhelming. A love that constrains us and contains us, and Lord, just causes us to understand and to know more and more about yourself each and every day. When we understand your unconditional love, Lord, there's not many things that can hinder us as being a child of yours, when we know that you love us with an everlasting eternal love. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us as we look at this passage of Scripture. You know, Lord, what each of us needs, and we pray, oh God, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will direct our thinking, you will direct the words that needs to be spoken, and God, you would be exalted and lifted up and magnified here in this place tonight. We come, Lord, as a people that is hungry for your word, and we want to hear a word from you, dear God, and we pray, Lord, tonight that you would just open the ears of our understanding, that the Holy Spirit may speak to us, each and every one individually and collectively as a church. Father, tonight, help us to grasp the truth of the mission movement even today, and help us to be actively involved. Lord, tonight as we come to your throne of grace once again, we come in behalf of those that were mentioned in our prayer groups and prayer rooms tonight. God, you know each one of them. You know the seriousness of some of the illnesses they are going through. Even those here under the sound of my voice at this time. But God, you know, and we know that you know what is best. And we know, oh God, that even the infinite thought of your mind can bring about healing in the very present reality. And Father, we deem whatever you see necessary that we just help us to trust you more and more. Lord, for the families of those that are hurting, those that are ministering, caring for them, God, give them the encouragement and give them the grace to help and to be a help and be an enlightenment to those who are hurting. Father, as we look into your word tonight, we pray that you'd help us to be focused in on you, and may, Lord, our lives be open and submissive to you, that you may speak directly to us. We ask this in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and soon coming King, and for his glory, amen and amen. As we look at our passage of Scripture, there's a lot that could be said about it, but as I read through this passage of Scripture and studied it for the sermon tonight and the message, I thought about the things that was going on, and I thought about these individuals who were involved in what was going on. And you know, the thing about this church or any other church, there are three things that is pointed out in this passage of Scripture that if our church is going to be all that it needs to be and all that it can be, these three things must be a present reality in each of our lives. I believe that. And the first thing that we notice is they were active. When I say they were active, look at the active words with me in the text. Look in verse 1 with me. It says, then came he. Came he. Look in verse 3. It says, him would Paul have to go forth with him. There's so many active words through this. Go forth with him. Verse 4. Look at verse 4. And as they went through the cities, as they went, they were going about, they were doing things. Verse 4 tells us that. Look at verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, and it goes on and on. Look in verse 8. And as they were passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. In other words, what I'm trying to say is I read through this and I thought about it. These individuals who were, I guess we could say, blazing the forest for mission or blazing the way for missions, they were active and involved in the ministry and in carrying out the mission and the Great Commission that Jesus had given to them. They did not realize or understand that it was, like many people today think, that it was not a Great Commission. It was just a suggestion by Jesus Christ. But it was not. It's called the Great Commission for a reason and a purpose, because it has a significant value to the ministry and to carrying out of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they understood that. They were actively involved. And you know what I've come to find out in life and through life? That God does not, listen to me, he does not call anyone out for any service when they're sitting on their holy haunches and doing nothing. Go back all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation, and when God calls someone out, they are already actively involved doing something. And here we see these individuals were going about various areas, and they were sharing and carrying the word of the Lord. If we look at this very close, there are things we need to understand. Look back at verse 5 with me just a moment. There are two main words in it. It's established in the faith. The term established, if we look at it close, it means, if we look at it, it says, it means to make stable or strong. To make stable or strong. It's a word where it's the same like the word we get stereo from. Esteria, S-T-E-R-I-O-O. Esterio, stereo. And the term there means it's getting strong or stable. And it means strengthened and being strengthened it means, as it's used in the connotation of the words in the language, it means strengthened to endure the storms. Now you think about that for just a moment. Paul is already going and relating to them, sharing with them, helping to establish them in the faith, because Paul realizes that there are going to be some storms in their life. Brother I.B. pointed out, talked about the storms the other night. And when we understand the storms of life, they are going to come. It's just one of those things. He brought that out. You're either in one, you're coming into one, you've been in one, or you're coming out of one. And the thing about it is, Paul was wanting that church and those churches to understand this principle, because we as a people of God, especially today as a Christian, let me tell you something, we're not immune to storms in life. God gives them for a purpose, and that purpose is to strengthen us and even to encourage us, because when we trust Him and we look to Him, we understand the love of God so present in our life that we know that He cares and loves us. Strengthened for a purpose. It's strengthened for a purpose to make strong and stable and ready to stand the storms. And the next one is increased in number daily. This is the term there. It does not mean to grow, but it means to be over and above all. Listen to now. To be over and above all. It comes out of the word being persistent. Being persistent. That's how we are over and above the situation. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, I'm doing all right under the circumstances"? You ever heard that before? A Christian ought not to be under the circumstances, because we ought to be above the circumstances. If we're in Christ and He's in us, we're above the circumstances, because He's in control of the circumstances. We might not can rationalize it out or figure it out, but let me tell you something, it doesn't make a difference whether we can or not. He already knows. He already knows. And let me tell you something else I found out too. He not only knows, but He cares. He cares, and He wants what's best for us. Now, if you could have talked to old Jonah when he was in the belly of the whale, you reckon what he'd have told you? What would he have told you, you think? Why was he there? There was a storm in his life, a storm in all those lives, those sailors. They threw him overboard, the storm ceased. Jonah went through a storm. It was a storm of correction, to correct him and to get him focused on what he ought to be doing. And I'll guarantee you, as I said last time, when that whale spit him up on dry land, let me tell you something, his feet was headed where God sent him to go. And sometimes God uses that to do that. Is that right? Listen, by being active for activity's sakes is not enough. That is not enough. Some churches, they're active, involved in everything, but what they need to be active about. And I don't know if discourage or throw down any of them, but you see all the action and activity, and it's not focused in, it's not zeroed in on the gospel message, the preaching and the teaching and the sharing of the gospel message. And let me tell you something, my friend, if it's not directed toward the gospel, we don't need to be doing it. We don't need to be doing it. We must be, listen to me, we must be active and doing eternal things. Things that's going to matter in the light of eternity for the kingdom's sake. The question, are we engaged in eternal things? You say, "Well, preacher, what is eternal things?" Eternal things is making and helping others to come to know and to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ so that their life can be changed and transformed here, but also they'll have a place of eternal dwelling one day with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about the ministry of the mission of the church, that's what it's about, is it not? Helping people to see and to understand their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was involved in that. They were involved in that as far as we can tell, and the best we can tell in what they were doing. The second thing is, notice, is they were available. Boy, I like this. They were available. Verses 6 through 9 tells us, we see two important things that they had learned. First that was, is, they know when to stay and they know when to go. They know when to stay, they know when to go. They need to say no as God leads in the wrong, if they think they're going in the wrong direction. God, they understand that. They know when to go and when to go. That means being available. Being available. There's a lot of people today that God has a task for them to do, and they are not available. And I want you to listen to me. I've heard all kinds of excuses as a pastor, and many of them say, well, I can't do that because I'm not qualified. Have you ever heard that? I mean, I'm not qualified to do that. The Bible nowhere in the world says we have to be qualified. It says we have to be available. Available because, let me tell you something, if we're qualified to do it, we don't need to be doing it many times. We need to understand that God is capable to give us exactly what we need if we only avow ourselves to following His will and His purpose. And let me tell you something about that. Many times it comes at the point of impact. When I say point of impact, whenever God asks us to do something, we need to start in the direction God asks us to do it and look for His direction and look for His strength and power to do what He says to do. That's what it's all about. That's what doing the will of God is. I've said that before. It is doing what God said to do when God said to do it with the power and strength He gives us to do it with. And that's what it's all about. That's what ministry, that's what mission is all about. We cannot and must not use that when I'm capable. When I'm capable. See, we're none of us capable. There are several examples we could look at. We could look at Moses. Whenever God called him, he said, I can't speak. I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified. So God sent Aaron to become a stumbling block in Moses' life along the way where God called him to go. Many times in the life of Moses, he was not qualified from a standpoint of being qualified to do what God asked him to know. But God wanted to show him and to make him understand that as long as He was with him, that's all that really mattered. That's what God told him. I will be with you. And God says, take the rod, throw it down. He threw it down, and it became a serpent. And He said, take it up, and He took it up, and it became the rod again. He was trying to demonstrate to Moses that whatever you lack, and listen to me, whatever you lack, I can supply what is necessary. I can and I will supply what is necessary. Look at old Gideon. Here he was hiding, threshing out the grain. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Hell there, excellent man. And then, you know, the situation, what took place. He didn't understand his qualifications. He could not. He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But he said, no. God said, with my help, you can do it. And you will do it. He says, because I will be with you. Be courageous and go. That's all we need to know. God will be with us. Let me tell you something. When He asks us to do something, He equips us for the service He asks us to do. Because, see, if He didn't, we would get the big head. And we think we could do it on our own. But when we understand that He and He alone has the one to aid us and assist us and to give us whatever's necessary for the task at hand, whatever it may be. He can do that, and He will do it. The next thing, listen, sometimes God mixes things up. He mixes things up. He mixes them up on us to see if we are available really to be used of Him. Available to be used of Him. Because many times things that happen in our life, and we go through this routine every day, you know, the same old routine every day, and sometimes along life's road in the routine of life, I don't know what's ever happened to you. I had that a couple of times in each day. God will do something or cause something to happen, and we wonder why. Question why. What's the purpose? What's wrong? When all we need to do is ask God to show us what He wants us to do and what's it all about. because sometimes God is good at messing things up to get us maybe out of the routine of life, get us out of that rut in life. You know what a rut is anyhow, don't you? It's a grave with both ends knocked out. That's what a rut is. Don't get in a rut. It might close up on you. Might I add this as well? Young people, older people, you'll never, never, listen, you'll never walk in step with God by staying in tune and walking with the world. You'll never walk with God, in step with God, by staying in tune with the world and walking with the world. I believe John said something about that. We need to understand that when we're so involved in the things of the world, we could care about being available to God. Just don't matter. If we're so wrapped up in the things of the world, we're not available to God. But these men, if I look at it, study it close, they were available to God. Available to God. Oh, that means open, accessible to God. Our lives should be the same, should it not? Really, really, it all boils down to this. It deals with obeying and trusting God. That's what it boils down to. Being obedient to what He asks us to do, and then trust Him as we seek to carry out what He's asked us to do. Trust, that song, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That is the whole scope of Christian message. That is the gospel. As we carry out the gospel, as we learn to trust and obey. Trust God at what He says, as we read His word, as we study His word, as we hear His word preached, and obey what He asks us to do and to be about. That's the message. Third thing, as we sum up it all, this sums up all of it, all of the above. They were attentive. They were attentive. And I want you to just look at that verse 9 and 10 again. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. We see that God had forbidden them, the Holy Spirit had forbidden them not to go into Asia, not to go to Mysia. But here, God finally opens the door. Listen to me, I was always taught whenever I was coming up and whenever I decided to surrender to the gospel ministry, people said, well, if God closes the door, He opens up a window. You ever heard that? God don't want us climbing through windows. He might close up a window, but when He does, He'll open up a door. He wants us to walk through. I know Paul was let down over a wall through the window one time. But I believe God opens up doors for us to walk through. That's what it means to be attentive, to listen to when He says. Whenever you think about that, being attentive to the Holy Spirit of God. Attentiveness is being in tune and step with the Holy Spirit. Attentiveness is being in tune and in step with the Holy Spirit. Is that not what we need to be about? Is that not what we need to do, is to be attentive, open to the Holy Spirit? That's what we see here. That's what we see here. And if we look at it, we need to learn to walk, as I said a while ago. Walk by a different drum beat. These men walked by a different drum beat. What the world had to offer was not what they listened to, but what the Lord had to offer is what they were about, what they did, what they completed. Question for all of us. Are we as attentive to the Holy Spirit as we are other things in our life? Are we attentive to the Holy Spirit as we are to other things in our life? What are we listening to, and who are we listening to? That's the question. That's the question. Look at the closing words of verse 10. Well, starting verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately, there's another active word, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The word there in verse 10, to preach the gospel. This word is only used four times in the Word of God. There are seven different terms for the term gospel. And the word here it's used is to tell the good news. The term to tell, it's applied to several of those words, four or five of those different Greek words. But here it means to tell forth or to foretell. It's kind of like the prophecy that's fulfilled already. And of course, if we study the gospel and study the Word of God, we know that in Jesus Christ, the prophecy of the Son of God and salvation plan for man is fulfilled, and it's fulfilled him. And that's the word here, is go and tell the gospel, preach the gospel, the good news of the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for mankind. Folks, that's the same message that you and I need to be involved in, is it not? Is to go and foretell the gospel message. The prophecy of what God had said in the Old Testament is now fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And because it's fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, we need to tell others about how he loved them, cared for them, and died on the cross for them to save them. That's the message. That's the message. We need to be attentive to the leadership of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. First church I pastored, after I was there probably maybe a month, they got a new preacher at the Methodist church. And let me tell you something. He was a bird, and you can spell that with big B-I-R-D. Reason I say that is they always, on the fifth Sunday night, they swapped. The Methodists had come to the Baptist church, and the Methodist minister would preach. And then the next time, the Methodists would come to the Baptist church. The Baptists would go to the Methodist church and the Baptist preacher would preach. But anyhow, right after I was there, he come to the church. It was their time to come to church here and preach. And he come and preach, and I've told you this before, but I want to tell you, let him go a little further. When he preached on 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, and he concluded by his message by saying, and the greatest of these is, he said, if Paul was living today, it would not be love, it would be hope. Hope. And boy, that just boiled my blood. But that wasn't the thing that really put the icing on the cake. I met him 2 or 3 months later, probably 2 months. And he was telling me about he had communion in their church. And he had every one of them drinking out of a common cup, and they used real wine. They were some kind of upper crust people in that church, and they didn't like it too much. He didn't care. He said, I don't care. He said, that's the way Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper. And that didn't bother me all that much, but I said, well, if he lived that down, that's all right. And then I had him on a funeral with him. We was talking about the things the Lord had done. And he says, they don't like me down there, but says I'll try to do the things like I want it done. He says, did you know the Lord broke every one of the Ten Commandments except the one on adultery, and we don't know that he didn't break that one? And I thought to myself, Sonny boy, where'd you get that from? But you know what? After all this, he told me one day, he said his mother told him that he ought to be a preacher because preachers makes good money. Boy, would I like to tell her something. And so that's why he was a preacher. And let me tell you something. He destroyed that church. After he left, they closed the doors. It was already dying, but they closed the door. What I'm trying to say is this. We need to be attentive not to mother's call or daddy's call, but we need to be attentive to the call of God in our life. And we need to listen intently, hearken intently to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. These individuals, if we look and study their life, we see that's exactly what they did. And because of that, the gospel prevailed where they went. It made an impact. It says it there. Look it back at verse 5? And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number. Because, simply because, they were available. They were available. They were attentive. I mean, folks, that's what God asks us, is it not? So tonight, we as a church here on this little place called Pleasant Hill, are we really open and attentive to what God wants in our life? Are we? I pray that we are, so that He can work the impossible through our lives. That's what He's good at, working the impossible. See, the things that God does is not natural, it's supernatural. We got people doing the natural thing, but God works the supernatural realm, and He wants to do it in our lives if we'll only allow Him to. God help us to be attentive and obedient to Him. Let's pray together. I do not know your heart tonight. God may be speaking to you about salvation, coming to know Him as Lord and Savior. You could be a church member here or somewhere else. But if you don't know Jesus, that's not good. That's not enough. You must know Him. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him. You need to trust Him. And for those of us who are saved, we need to commit our lives, Lord, this week and say, God, I'm